Yeah, the Monday edition. No, it's not Monday at all. Let's try that again. It's the Wednesday edition, Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call Hotel Studio at the Avenue. Joshy DiMaggio is here today. He just looked at me like I was having a stroke when I said it was the Monday edition. Good to have Joshy back. Tiny Ann's Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. ESPN Madison is the home of the Milwaukee Bucks. Scratch that. ESPN Madison is the home of the NBA Cup champion Milwaukee Bucks, who get it done last night over the Oklahoma City Thunder in Las Vegas. Bucks are the second annual NBA Cup champions. I'm actually not speaking with enough enthusiasm. The Bucks are NBA Cup champions. It's exciting. Hang a banner, have a parade, buy the gear, get excited, because not only are the Bucks so back, they've been back for weeks, but not only are the Bucks so back, they just won a midseason tournament title, which is exciting. And I can't stand the people that aren't excited about this, because this should be worthy of a banner. Now, I will say this. Hang a banner, but only one banner, right? So like how high school gyms have it, where it's like, hey, this is the year we won the conference for this sport, and then they add the years to it. So just hang one NBA Cup championship banner, put a little 2024 on there, and then when you start winning more, you can add the years. But I think one banner should go up in Fiserv Forum for this. The other part of this is, I do think they should have a parade. Not quite to the level of what they had in 2021, but like a little Deer District celebration later in the week. I think this is worth celebrating. It's impressive to do this. I think you have to win, what, 7 games in order to win it all? The Bucks went 7-0. That's exciting. I'm all for it. Is it 7-0 or 6-0? It's 7-0, right? Because 3 rounds of tournament play and 4, yeah, so 7 games. They went 7-0. That's an accomplishment. So we need to stop acting like it's not. Joshy, I know you are a poo-pooer when it comes to the NBA Cup. Why are you so anti-fun?
I think it suffers from its construction. If they took off regular season and did a almost like bubble-like tournament where they got everyone together, played it all in one fell swoop, and it kind of raised the intensity. Playing regular season games in between NBA Cup games and other people not play, it's just weird. It's hard to follow unless you're super locked in. To the point last night where somebody texted me, champs, and I didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh, come on.
That's how far removed I am.
Yes, you did.
I'm being 100% honest. I would not lie about this. I had to think about what the hell champs would mean in a text message. Sure, it's fun. It's a good sign to come. But if you don't win an NBA title, everyone's going to be, hope you have fun with your NBA Cup, your meaningless midseason trophy. Hope you enjoyed it. Like, there's no stakes either, besides the personal enrichment of already extremely rich people. If there was automatic bid into the playoffs, if there was a draft compensation, if there was anything that benefited the fan base and the people watching and consuming, other than we now have an NBA Cup that barely looks like a cup.
That barely looks like a cup.
Except it's literally just like a cup inside of it.
It's literally a cup, isn't it? Yeah.
It's if you weren't paying attention and you just glanced at it, you'd be like, well, that's just like half a basketball.
It's almost like that's what a cup is.
So your point here, your fight is that actually looks like a cup and people normally drink out of something that looks like that. That's your take. Out of all I had to say, yes, it actually looks like a cup to me, and I might find this in my cupboard while I'm drinking a beer. That's what you're saying?
No, my real argument was going to be that the two-way player for the Bucks, with his $500,000 winning, was going to be able to buy a house in Iowa, and Giannis was excited about that, so they got their teammate
I'm happy
a house.
For him.
Like, so there's
hey,
that too.
I'm happy for him. That is nice. And I do appreciate Giannis saying that. Giannis is also the guy who's almost seemingly always going to say the right thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Proud of him.
Did you see the whole debacle over him saying job is done, but also saying job's not done? Did you see this debacle on the internet?
Did he actually ever say job's done?
Yes,
because ESPN put it out there, and the quote I heard is job's not done.
So he said in the tunnel, job's done. But he said on the stage, job's done. He said both of them.
Gotcha.
And people were very upset.
Yes.
Because he
as I alluded to, win a title or it's fancy pants
Well, it's a mid-season title, so obviously it is not to the level of the Larry O'Brien. It is not to the level of winning at all. That is not the case
what
I'm making.
What comparable trophy would this be to?
Like,
to
European soccer?
No.
I mean, they have the mid-season tournaments. Yes,
yes
it
they,
is.
They
that's where this idea came from.
They
so,
do,
that's what it's comparable to.
But the people there care about it.
Right. But did people care about the first Super Bowl? I don't think they did. And I'm not by any means. I'm realizing the trap I'm setting myself up for.
So that means it doesn't count. First one doesn't count. Didn't care about it.
I mean, I didn't even have to trick you into that
one. Yeah, no, I realize the trap I'm setting myself up for. The point I'm making, though, is that I think history, as this thing continues to gain some steam and evolve, is more people will care about it in the coming years. I understand it is not it does not have all the glitz and glamour from a fan aspect as the regular title does, or the Super Bowl does, or right stuff like that. But I think it is comparable to like a... I don't know, winning the regular season conference title in college basketball. That's what I would allude to it.
So that's even more of an accomplishment because that is
right. That's a season long accomplishment. But what really matters in college basketball is winning the conference tournament, especially for like mid majors. So here's just an example I'll give you. If Milwaukee, the Panthers, led by head coach Bart Lundy, who I went and saw on Sunday morning at Fiserv Forum, beat Akron, 26 turnovers, 100 points. Still don't know how that happened. But they did it again this week. They had like 24 turnovers the other night and still scored. I don't know how you do that. Anyway, not important. If Milwaukee is to win the regular season title for the Horizon League, that will not be good enough to get a bid to the NCAA tournament, which is what actually matters. They have to win the conference tournament because only one team is going to get in. So that is probably the best comparison we have in American athletics.
So, it is akin to a mid-major winning their conference title, but not the conference championship.
You asked me for a comparison.
That doesn't have stakes. Gotcha.
Okay, it's comparable to getting named to the All-Star game in the MLB.
Oof. All right. Don't know how, if you've made me care more. And I'm not even really anti this. I think
it's fun.
In general, it's a good idea. What they should do is like expand the actual tournament portion of it and have more games and those be the only games you watch for 2 weeks. You know, like actually have the stakes part needs to be figured out. I'm happy for the two-way player. Think it's great. Happy he can get himself a home. But, like, Dame's donating all of his money, which, good for him. Very nice.
Yep.
But this guy doesn't need that.
So, I guess my question is, and we asked this question yesterday on KBN, but now that it's done, I want to know what everybody's feeling. Do you want the Milwaukee Bucks to hang a banner for this? Right? I jokingly say the parade thing. They're not going to have a parade. I might have a self-parade. I might walk from here to Fiserv Forum and record myself with some like poppet banners or something, some confetti poppers. But I don't think Giannis is going to be on top of a fire truck in the middle of December celebrating a midseason cup. I don't think that will be the case. But I do think they should hang a banner. I do think that this is worth celebrating. I think this is an accomplishment to win 7 games in a row where every team is giving their best effort due to the circumstances for the players. I think it's important to acknowledge. So, yes, I am pro banner. Shoot, I'd even be pro-parade. I just don't see that happening. The incredible stat that came out of last night is Darvin Ham, who was last year the head coach of the Lakers, now this year back as an assistant in Milwaukee, has never lost an NBA Cup game. He is 14-0 in NBA Cup-related games. Isn't that kind of a fascinating stat?
Nope. I mean, you asked me a question. I answered honestly. Real impressed with that. Nope, sure ain't.
The real impressive thing here, if we're going to be honest, is the way that the Bucks started the season and the fact that they were playing so well and they played so well against a really good OKC team. That's what I'm impressed with, is like they actually look like one of the best teams in the East now. And I was really happy that they weren't popping champagne and they're not treating like this was the culmination of their season. I'm glad they treated it last night after winning. Like, Giannis is having fun, dancing around. He's got his trophies. And they're on the Cavs on Friday, I think, is their next game. Like, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. I also think for the Bucks specifically, it's probably bigger to them than it would be to most teams because of the start. So seeing the we can do some version of this is encouraging that we're good enough and we're better than we played for much of the season. That's really the only takeaway I have from it. But begs the question, is the NBA Cup the only title Dame and Giannis are going to win together?
I sure hope not. And to your point, this is an encouraging sign, hopefully, of things to come. Because as we've alluded to a few times, that start was rough. They were 2-8 through the first 10 games. Like that's not good. And luckily, they had a nice stretch of the schedule where it was like, okay, if they're going to turn it around, here's your opportunity to. And they won like 11 of 12, and they turned this thing right around. NBA Cup games prior to the tournament play, the knockout stages, they were winning and winning handedly. That Magic game kind of came down to the wire, which they had earlier in the season. The Thunder are a really good team, and they held them to, what was it, like 36 points in the second half defensively. So clearly, defensively, this team is getting better. Dame and Giannis are learning how to mesh with one another. Even without Chris Middleton last night, this team is finding other options for scoring. They didn't go over 100 points, but still finding ways to score the basketball. So all in all, these are encouraging signs for a Bucks team that was heavily struggling at the beginning of the season. And are hopefully a sign of things to come. In the tournament stages, they elevated their games against good competition. Now, I don't expect to see the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. But could the Thunder get to the Finals? Yes. That's a team they could see down the road. So, all in all, will this be the only title Dame and Giannis win together? TBD. I'm not willing to say yes. I'm not willing to say no. I don't know how many years they're going to be together is the issue. And obviously, they're aging. So, this could be their last real opportunity. Win a real title together is this year.
I think if you hang up an NBA Cup banner, you run the risk of becoming the laughingstock like the Colts did for AFC
finalist.
AFC champion, like finalist. Yes, that infamous one that they've, I believe, now removed.
I believe so too. Yes,
because I saw the guys from Pardon My Take with it.
They got bullied out of it.
Yeah, I think you run a risk of that because if your season dissolves, hey, if you want to hang a banner. After you hang another one, I'll let it. I'll.
So what you're saying is the banner that you want them to hang is 24-25 NBA champions, NBA Cup champions, same banner.
You could attach it, hang it to the bottom,
like an add-on.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
With a couple like metal hooks and a wooden sign. Correct. Okay, I like where your head's at here.
Yeah.
Now you run the risk of that wooden sign falling on the patrons of Fiserv Forum.
You just string it up. I think you'd be all right. Make it. I mean, they're all fabric.
Yeah, but I think you should make a wooden one for the NBA Cup because it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like a wooden attachment.
They should put a cup on it.
Ooh, just like a pint glass.
Hang the trophy.
Oh, see, now we're on to something. Just elevate the trophy into the rafters. Uh-huh. Okay, I see where your head's at here. I like it. Yeah, I'm good with that. All right. Well, congratulations to the Bucks. Congrats to Dame. First trophy for him ever. Aside from like AAU, I would imagine. But Weber State, he wasn't winning anything. Obviously, in Portland, he didn't win anything. Other than what? Did he win? Did he ever win an All-Star Game MVP? I think he did win one.
Probably.
So I guess he won a trophy there. Three-point contest, I think he won one of those. But he's never won a real team trophy. So that's exciting. I'm happy for the guy.
You're playing fast and loose with the word real.
No, I'm not. This is a real thing. It's a thing they've added. If the NFL added a mid-season Super Bowl.
What?
We would all view it as cool and real because it's something we can gamble on.
Here's the thing. The more you have to convince me it's real and have to confirm this is fun, this is cool, this is good, the less likely I and I think a lot of other people out there are going to buy into it. The this is actually real thing is not a good selling point.
Well, I tried.
Hey, you gave it a college try.
I gave it a good old-fashioned shot, and it didn't work. You know, Hunter, where are you at on this before we move on to the Packers?
What, like... actually hanging a banner? Like, I was looking up Damian Lillard's Wikipedia to see what he's won.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome.
The validity of the NBA Cup.
Does he got a three-point championship at the All-Star?
Yeah, two-time three-point contest champion.
Whoa!
Third-team All-American in college. Two-time Big Sky Player of the Year.
Individual award.
All-rookie first team, NBA Rookie of the Year.
Individual award.
Yep.
Individual award.
All-Star Game MVP in 2024.
Individual award.
What do you think Dame covets more?
The NBA Cup.
Yeah. I would. Finally had a team that could do something.
Exactly. He's never won a team award. That's important for him. Joshy, it's a team sport, bud.
I'm aware. Five guys out there. I think he thinks more fondly of his Rookie of the Year than he does
Joshy,
the NBA Cup.
Would you rather me or Tiny Hands win Producer of the Year? Or would you rather Mr. Irrelevant or Jen Gabe and Chewy win Show of the Year? Which would you rather have?
Well, you two winning Producer of the Year has absolutely zero effect on me.
Well, that means you lost. That's the point I'm making. It means you lost an individual award.
Oh, I'm also up for the award and I lose it to you guys?
Yes, correct. Correct.
But we're on the same team.
Well, for this show we would be, which would be Show of the Year. That's what I'm saying.
But the analogy here doesn't work.
Okay, would you rather win Producer of the Year or would you rather win Show of the Year?
Probably Producer of the Year.
Wow, individual awards guy.
Wow, selfish. Yeah,
selfish.
Hey, guess what? When Dame won first team all NBA awards, what did he do? Turn that into more money.
Oh, so you are only thinking about yourself when you come to work every day and Mr. Irrelevant, you're thinking about Joshy?
If you're not focused on yourself, who else is going to?
Me.
You got to support number one here.
That's my job. My job is to focus on you and Tiny Hands.
Well, you could do a better job of it.
All right, I'm going to bring you a producer.
You're
the
CJ McCollum of this whole situation here.
What does that make Tiny Hands like? Scotty Barnes,
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. So Joshy is the Dame Lillard of Mr. Irrelevant. We've decided. Okay. Wow. What an unbelievable conversation that evolved into. Shout out to the Bucks, NBA Cup champs. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll take a look at the playoff scenarios for the Packers, when and they're in Monday night against the Saints. But what is the ideal scenario for the Packers? We'll take a look at the ESPN playoff machine. Is that what it's called? The playoff simulator?
Yes, correct.
Machine. Got it. We'll take a look at the ESPN playoff machine, look at some of the scenarios in the NFC. And talk about which ones we're rooting for. I told you my ideal scenario on Monday. I will show you what it takes to get there, as well as we will discuss Enigma, Joshy's favorite guy, Aaron Rodgers, the new documentary out on Netflix. I watched the first two episodes last night, one to go. Excited to get Joshy's take on this, because I'm sure I'm going to be talking plenty about it today. I will be talking about it here. I will be talking about it on Kyle Breston Nortman from 2 to 5. Joshy, I'm going on What's on Tap with Sandy Max, 6 o'clock, 620 WTMJ, to discuss Enigma with my friend Sandy Max.
That's a big get for Sandy Max there.
That's a big get for me. What are you talking about?
I know. I was making the joke.
I am like the least. She told me she's got 4 minutes for me.
Yeah, they keep it tight over there.
She's got an in-studio guest coming up at 6:10, so all she can get me in at is 6 to 6:04.
How did you get selected? Did she just say, hey, have you watched this?
So I sit next to her upstairs. My desk is right next to her. So we're always yipping and yapping. We both have an affinity for music and live performances. So we
chop it up.
Right? We relate on our interests there with live music and whatnot. Sandy's a good friend of mine. I got beers with her at Summerfest over the summer. We were watching concerts together. So anyway, yesterday she said, it's out. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. Enigma. Yeah, you're totally right, Sandy. And she goes, tomorrow, I want you on my show. I said, I'm not sure I'm going to watch it tonight, but now that you said that, I will.
Uh-huh.
She bullied me into watching it. So I watched the first two episodes, so we'll dive into that a bit later.
You committed, nearly 4 hours for a four-minute appearance?
Two and a half. Yeah, two and a half.
We might have to have a conversation about your time management.
Hey, I will say this. So I went into Greg Scalzo's office yesterday after work. I don't know if he'll be thrilled I'm telling you this, but I'm going to anyway. Greg Scalzo, formerly of Scalzo and Brust, on-air host here at ESPN Wisconsin, now the market manager of GKB Milwaukee, overseeing our operations at ESPN Milwaukee, 101.7 The Truth, and 620 WTMJ. I said, Greg, I don't know if I'm going to watch Enigma tonight. NBA Cup game, couple other things on TV. I don't think I'm going to get to Enigma. He slammed his laptop shut. He goes, that's your bleeping job. If I was still on the air, I'd have a notepad. I'd be in my den. I'd say goodnight to my kids early and I would watch all three episodes. And I go, what do you mean, Greg? He goes, he is the modern day Nikola Tesla. That's what Scalzo said. I go, no, he's not, Greg. He goes, it's your bleeping job. If you don't come in here with thoughts on Enigma tomorrow, I'm gonna have to have a serious conversation with you. And I think he was being serious, Joshy.
I think he was. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was not going to watch it either. We can get into it in a little bit.
All right, we'll talk about that later. First, got to tell you about my friends over at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Holidays are here, people. Stock up. Door County Distillery single malt whiskey and their cherry brandy for the old fashions you'll inevitably be mixing up over the holiday season. I mean, I know you're likely like me and a lot of people. You're gonna have some time off here. Old fashions are going to be flowing. Family, friends, distant relatives, all going to be over, and you're going to want to be drinking some old fashioned. So do it right. Do it with cherry brandy and the single malt whiskey or the bourbon from Door County Distillery. Visit their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find the way to make the best old fashioned with Door County Distillery and find the retailer nearest you. Woodman's all over the state, as well as various liquor stores, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison, Stevens Point, wherever you're at. I always say the four cities I've lived in the state, but all of those areas have Door County Distillery. I know that because I've picked up Door County Distillery in all four of those cities. So check out their website. Find the retailer nearest you. Check out that huge list of unique cocktail recipes, as well as their old-fashioned mixers, which you can find at DoorCountyDistillery.com. We step aside for 60 seconds when we return. Packers playoffs, Enigma, One Word Wednesday, what we learned, all still ahead. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Trump. Back at Door County Distillery, the New Year's coming up, so we're going to celebrate in style, making the final countdown with our buddy Rob from Door County Distillery. Rob, happy early New Year.
Yeah, happy early New Year to you, too. Do you have any resolutions coming up?
I've got many, but we shouldn't get into those now. We only have 60 seconds. We've got the 20 at least time award-winning single malt whiskey headlining this lineup. How do we make the final countdown?
All right, so you start with, as you said, the award-winning whiskey, single malt. 2.5 ounces of that, 1/2 ounce of grenadine, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, 3/4 ounce of lime juice. Stir, stand the outside of the glass, give her a little once over around.
Happy New Year to you, Happy New Year to you,
Happy
Rob.
Happy New Year's.
The
Cheers.
Final countdown from Door County Distillery. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com.
There you go. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. By the way, that final countdown, you can mix that up over the holidays, too. It's delicious, so you got to check it out. All right, let's dive into this. So I mentioned Monday. I think there was a path, and I think the ideal situation for the Packers would be that the Vikings find a way to win the division. And they can still do that with the Packers beating them in week 17. So the Vikings could go 2-1 over their last three, but that would obviously be contingent on the Lions going 1-2. They play the 49ers next week, week 17, the week the Packers play the Vikings. That could be a game where the Niners are like, oh, we're still alive. We really need to win. Lions are beat up. They're in San Francisco. That could be a game that the Niners find a way to win. And then it comes down to that Week 18 matchup between Minnesota and Detroit, with them both losing in Week 17. The winner of that game would take the division. And likely in that scenario, then, Philadelphia finds a way to win the one seed. Their schedule isn't too terribly tough over the course of the final three games for Philadelphia. It's Washington this week, which of course is a tough matchup. Week 17 against the Cowboys, and then their final game is against the Giants. So just divisional games remaining for the Eagles. If they go at least 2-1 there, I think they get the one seed, unless the Lions find a way to go 3-0. But I think there's a realistic scenario where the Lions go 1-2, which means 1-3 over their final four. The Vikings go 3-1 over their final four, leapfrog the Lions for the number two seed in the division, and then it shakes out in some capacity. Philadelphia 1, Minnesota 2, the West and South winners 3-4, and those are reversible. Detroit gets the 5 seed, Green Bay gets the 6 seed, and then maybe Washington probably gets that 7 seed. And then I think in that scenario, Washington has a good offense. They could go to Minnesota and not, you know, complete the upset. Green Bay could go to Tampa Bay, Los Angeles, Atlanta, or Seattle, one of those 4 teams. I think they would beat all those teams on the road. Same with Detroit, whichever of the ones that the Green Bay doesn't play. Detroit would get that team on the road. I think all three wild cards realistically could win on the road wild card weekend, and that sets up Washington at Philadelphia and then Green Bay at Detroit in the divisional round, double divisional round in the NFC. And I don't know, man. I saw a graphic today. Packers only have 5 players on IR, which is the second tied for the second lowest in the league. The Bills only have 3, or third lowest in the league. So in terms of players on IR, Bills have 3. Packers and Vikings tied for third lowest with 5. Detroit far and away number 1. 22 players on injured reserve for Detroit. While I think they are still a damn good team, that's eventually going to bite them in the butt. Like, this might be one of those years for Detroit where health just isn't on your side and it ruins an amazing season for you, because they were certainly at full health, the best team in the league.
I think it's over for them.
You do?
I think they can win some games. They can be frisky. They're losing backups to backups.
Correct.
I think there is a breaking point, and they've sustained very, very, very well with the amount of injuries they sustained recently, but it has to come to a head at a point.
So
teams just can't sustain this type of performance, and I think the David Montgomery missing, everybody's like, oh, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't want him carrying the ball more than 15, 17 times a game. That is very clear. David Montgomery is like very, very, very important to their offense and the functioning of it. I think what will happen, you'll see, is stretches that we haven't seen yet of offensive struggles, because you don't have to respect the run in the same way. And then if you start pressuring Jared Goff, that makes his life worse. So combine that with the fact that you're now playing 4 or 5 guys who didn't have jobs when you started the season, because they've been forced into action. Like, they're going to have offensive struggles and then just defense that is not as good as it was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's a really good point by you. I think frisky's probably the right word for them, Joshy, because they're still potent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with an offense with Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams and Tim Patrick, who's come on as of late, a huge target for them, formerly a Denver Bronco, has scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks for them, 2 against Green Bay and 1 this past week against Buffalo. He's come on strong for them. So, like, they still have a potent offense, but their defense is shredded, right? Yeah, and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills obviously put up a lot of points. 48 points is a freaking lot of points, right? And I think that's just more of what's to come for them defensively. You know, their final 3 games here down the stretch for Detroit, they play the Bears this week. Week 17, they play the Niners, as I mentioned, and then week 18, the final game of the season, is against Minnesota, which I think will likely be for the division. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, we still don't know what they're made of, but it's not like they're going to get a whole heck of a lot healthier, even if they find their way to get the number 1 seed in the bye. So,
yeah,
it might be over for them. You might be right. I'm still going to believe in them. I just don't believe in them as maybe the top prospect in the NFC. I probably view them as number 2 or number 3 now.
No, I think you could have a good reason to drop them behind both of the Packers and Vikings, just
really?
In terms of how you think they're going to win a Super Bowl. I just think it's too much. And what sign do we have that this is going to stop? it seems like there's a snake-bitten team every year. This year, it was just the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, fortunately.
Yeah.
Which sucks for football fans, but is good for us. As Packers fans. So we will see. Let's pull up the ESPN playoff machine. Now, I was talking to Hunter about this before the show. I was like, yeah, I've never really used this before, so I'm not sure how to use it.
Oh, man, I've been fiddling around on this for weeks.
Okay, now here's the thing. I was thinking back to my fandom, Joshy. Teams that are worried about their scenarios of how they need to get into the playoffs is who uses this. So Hunter's like, yeah, I've used this my entire life because the Cowboys are always 8-8.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how many years in a row I was staying up at night trying to figure out the scenarios of what's the best way for the Cowboys to get in and still like lose that week 17 game because Tony Romo will inevitably throw 3 interceptions. Like, that was my life through most of the 2010s.
I've used this for seeding.
Boys, hold on real quick. I got news. We're going to get to this in what we learned. But Green Bay basketball, men's basketball, coached by friend of show Doug Gottlieb.
Dougie G.
Yeah, Dougie G. They're playing a midday game today because every year they do like a local schools initiative. They invite a bunch of students and teachers out. They are playing Division II Michigan Tech. That game just went final.
They lost?
They lost by 2, 72-70 at the Rush Center in Green Bay.
Hey, Michigan Tech's a solid program. A lot of Madison area recruits.
Marcus Tomaszek, Ashwaubenon alum. His father was my high school social studies teacher. Kicked me out of class like 10 times. scored a career high. Rightfully so. I do too. Frankly, just scored a career high 30 points in his hometown, and led Michigan Tech to a 72-70 win. That is 8 losses in a row for Green Bay and the Fightin' Phoenix. And head coach Doug Gottlieb, friend of show. We will get to Doug Gottlieb a bit later. On what
he's no friend of mine.
Well, I know, and we will allude to that a bit later at the end of the show. But just wanted to throw that out there. Ty Fernholz, Stoughton alum.
Yeah.
9 points off the bench for Michigan Tech, all from the three-point line. He was probably the best three-point shooter I ever covered in high school, Ty Fernholz. So 9 points off the bench for him in the win. Anyway, so we'll get back to that later. Playoff machine. Let's take a look at it. So I've picked all the games through Week 18. I don't even really want to pay attention to the AFC. I just think this is the way it's going to play out. One seed Kansas City, which I could very well see flip to Buffalo because... I mean, you look at the Chiefs' schedule down the stretch here. They have all playoff teams, pretty much. Houston in Week 16, Pittsburgh in Week 17, and then in Week 18, they play the Denver Broncos. So all playoff teams left for the Chiefs. There's a very realistic chance they could go 1-2 here because these teams are jockeying for playoff positioning. I have them at 2-1, finishing the season 15-2. That's good for the one seed. I have the Bills finishing the season 3-0. They finish at 14-3. They're the two seed. Baltimore 3, Houston 4, Pittsburgh 5, Chargers 6, and Denver 7. So I do have Baltimore winning out and leapfrogging. I think Pittsburgh is currently the 3 seed technically, but I have that shaken out with Baltimore still winning the division, Houston the 4 seed winning the South, and then it's Pittsburgh, Chargers, Denver. Those are your 7 teams that are going to make the playoffs in the AFC. That is essentially a fact at this point. Not often you see that in the NFL either, where there's really only 7 teams with a couple games left to play. That's going to be your 7 teams almost indefinitely. It's just a matter of what the order will be in terms of seeding. The NFC side, there's several different scenarios that could play out. They mostly have to do with the AFC or the NFC West and the NFC South winner, which just quick gut check, I have that as Tampa Bay as the 3 seed and the Los Angeles Rams winning the West as the 4 seed, which is where the Packers would head. That's not how I have this. I have the Packers as the 6 seed. So that is not where they would head. They would head to Tampa Bay. So couple scenarios here. So in Week 16, you have Packers Saints. I think the Packers are going to win out. I think they go to Minnesota next week and win. They host New Orleans technically next week and win. The following week, go to Minnesota and win, and then wrap up with the win over the Bears. Here's where things get interesting. Week 16, I have the Rams over the Jets. That seems like an easy pick. I do have the Falcons over the Giants. I have the Cardinals over the Panthers. I have the Niners over the Dolphins. Bucks over the Cowboys. I do have the Lions beating the Bears. I just don't think the Bears are good enough, despite all the injuries. Would I be shocked? No, but I have them winning. Minnesota, I think they win on the road at Seattle. So I think all the NFC North teams that are in the playoffs win next week. Week 17 is the interesting one. I have Green Bay going to Minnesota and winning. I have Detroit going to San Francisco and losing. So I have Minnesota and Detroit both losing in Week 17, which does set up then Week 18 division on the line. I think the Packers beat the Bears, and I think Minnesota goes to Detroit and wins. And they leapfrog then Detroit. So it becomes 2-seed Minnesota, 3-seed Tampa, 4-seed Rams, 5-seed Detroit, 6-seed Green Bay. So Green Bay in that scenario would go to Tampa, which I don't love. That's the matchup I dislike the most. And then Detroit going to the Rams. The thing with Tampa is that's a good offense, man. And they can put up points. Now, the good news is for the Packers, they put up 30 points each of the last 3 weeks. They can put up points, too. And that defense seems like it's trending in the right direction and maybe even peaking at the right time. As Edron Cooper, by the way, earlier today, wins his second Defensive Player of the Week award. This season, in his rookie year, he is the first Packers defensive player to win Defensive Player of the Week twice in the same year since, Josh, do you know the answer to this trivia question?
Yeah, I saw the tweet.
Clay Matthews in 2010, which, by the way, Josh, just trigger my memory for a moment. What happened in 2010?
Super Stinking Bowl.
And what seed were the Packers?
6.
That's correct. What seed are the Packers likely going to be this year?
According to your calculations, the 6th.
Interesting concept. 96 to 2010. How many years is that?
14 years.
2010 to 2024, how many years is that?
14.
Ha! Huh, interesting concept, Joshy.
You're doing a Packers version of the connections between Lincoln and JFK. Have you ever seen that one before?
Of course.
Yes.
Now,
this hasn't been talked about a lot, and I don't know why. Is it because we're afraid? We're scared of cats, chickens? Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. What hasn't been talked about?
The seemingly like the chances of these two seasons having so much in common. The last Super Bowl and the potential for this one.
Yeah.
Like, it is just pouring over with similarities. Aaron Rodgers' second year as a starter.
It was actually his third year.
Third, sorry. Yeah. Like, there's just
but
so
it was,
many.
It was the year after his first playoff appearance.
Yes.
He lost in the wild card round. Jordan Love won. And, you know, as we transition into talking about Enigma, episode one does a great deep dive on the Super Bowl run. And it talks about, you know, so maybe that's why I'm bringing it up, the JFK Lincoln equivalent here for the Packers 2010-2024. It's because it's fresh out the brain from watching Enigma last night. But, like, hearing Rodgers talk about, and I was going to grab the audio, I forgot to, of him saying, everybody said I never got a signature win, and I'm sitting there like, what the bleep does that mean? Oh, I haven't won a playoff game. And then he went out and did it four times in a row, three on the road and then one at a neutral site in the Super Bowl. Now, the thing that gives me hope, I still haven't talked myself out of the fact the Packers could win the Super Bowl. It's just going to be difficult. Going on the road and winning, which, by the way, the Packers have been pretty darn good on the road this year. I don't think they've lost a true road game. The only technical road loss was in Brazil. Oh, and at Detroit last week.
They lost to Detroit.
Yeah. Not going to happen a third time, though. No chance. So, all in all, I like where the Packers are at, man. They're trending in the right direction. You weren't here on Monday when we unpacked Sunday Night Football at all, so I guess I haven't really talked to you about that game. I walk away really encouraged of the defense, even though they played a backup quarterback for the second half.
Brad Nortman.
Yeah, suck at Brad Nortman. I'm totally with you on that. Brad Nortman telling us it's the same old defense. No, it's not.
No.
Edgerton Cooper is an absolute superstar.
Uh-huh.
The pass rush came alive. Now, look, Seattle's offensive line is not the best in the league, but they were playing well leading up to that game. And
the Packers have struggled against bed.
They have,
pass
absolutely.
Blocking offensive
so,
lines before.
I'm encouraged that the defense is trending in the right direction. Am I sold that this is them peaking at the right time? Not yet. But you have another bad team coming to town on Monday. Go get six sacks, go get five sacks, limit them to 13 points again. All of a sudden, 10 points. I'm going, whoa, maybe this defense does have some kick. So I'm encouraged on the defense once again.
If we're to play back to the previous Super Bowl, the one we were just talking about there that Aaron Rodgers
yeah, 2010.
Won. I did not fully believe in that Packers team until they went and smoked the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Every game, the whole time it was waiting. When is this going to come to an end? When is this like dream run? Like, they're not actually this good. They're good, but it seems like they can't put it all together. And I think that's the same thing that would have to happen for Packers fans to fully believe. And I'm not even saying that's unjustified. There's enough to point to. I feel like a lot of people are looking for something that you don't really see in the NFL, and that's just complete wire-to-wire domination of good teams.
Sure.
Sure, you'd like to do it against some bad teams, but every single win the Packers get, it's like, well, when's the next big game?
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, I think if you keep answering the bell.
So, I mean, I hear you saying this. You work every day with Gabe Neitzel.
Uh-huh.
I love Gabe, man. He is an awesome dude. He's a thrill to work with. He is incredibly smart when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. He's been extra negative this year, though, and I don't get it.
Well, and here's the thing, and it must be his presentation, because I don't actually disagree with him. I think the Packers' ceiling, as it stands now, is probably an NFC Championship game. And I think that'd be very, very good. I think that would be exciting and would have me as disappointed as I would be losing a game one away from the Super Bowl. For where this team is, how young they are, that's extremely encouraging. And I think you could end the season. I know it's title time. I get it. But, like, reality is reality. Being one of the final four teams in the NFL would be a massive accomplishment for this team the way it's constructed at this moment. And I don't think that's like that negative. Like, not saying there's a Super Bowl contender. Who would you say are like sure things for the Super Bowl right now?
Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. Probably end of list.
So you're not one of the three best teams.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad about that.
I don't either. I mean, mathematically, that's not an awful place to be.
No.
Do one of the three best teams win the Super Bowl a lot? Yes.
Yeah, most often.
Most often. But are there plenty of exceptions?
Uh-huh.
Sure are. Think about the Rams a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Right? Obviously, the Chiefs in back-to-back years, impossible to count up Patrick Mahomes. But 2 years ago, that first Super Bowl, they were not one of the best teams. They were not viewed as one of the best teams, but they had the best player.
Yes.
Last year, they were viewed as the best team. Coming off a Super Bowl, kind of repeating it, being a terrific team. But even last year, they had their struggles. The Niners were viewed as a better team, and they ended up losing in the Super Bowl. So, all in all, by the way, there's still 3 weeks left. Our opinion could drastically change. If the Packers win out and they go to Minnesota in 2 weeks, and let's say they win by 10 points and they lead wire to wire, they have a fast start like they did against Seattle, and maybe they don't stall out as much as they did in the second half against Seattle. All of a sudden, I think people are turning their heads and going, uh-oh, Green Bay is that good. Green Bay is the second best team in the NFC all of a sudden. Despite not being the two seed, they are the second best team in the NFC. Yep. So, plenty of time left. And I think there will be plenty of people that view it differently. All right, we've got a lot to do in a little bit of time. We got to talk Enigma. We got to talk one word. We got to get to what we learned, which is our beef breakdown. I think this will be our seventh ever beef breakdown that we do on Mr. Irrelevant. Might be the first or second one Joshy's been a part of, beef breakdown.
I can't recall my first one.
And then we're going to call it your first beef breakdown. We break down beef, Josh.
Day.
That's what we do in beef breakdown. It is a special day. I can't wait to get his insights.
Show me the beef, brother.
Show me the beef, brother. I'm going to show you the money, show you the moolah, because I do that over on Underdog and UnderdogFantasy.com. If you would have flexed our picks for Sunday Night Football, you would have won some money, which I did. I won some money on Sunday Night Football. Josh, you tried to talk me out of the one that lost, too. The Jordan Love over 5.5 rushing yards. He only had one rush for 4 yards. But nonetheless, still good stuff. He talked me out of the one I actually wanted, which was first quarter half rushing or 0.5 rushing yards, which was when the 4-yard rush came. But nonetheless, neither here nor there. A win is a win. We're never going to complain about winning money on Underdog, which you should do too. It elevates your game watching experience. It's fun to watch along. Won a couple bucks in the Bucks game last night too. Shout out Giannis Antetokounmpo for being an absolute superstar. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up and play the Underdog Pick'em game. All you look at is players' projections on their stats. You click higher or lower on that. You can go anywhere between 2 picks to 8 picks. If you go all the way up to 8 picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. You can turn a buck into a grand on Underdog and UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up, up to a 100% deposit match and a free pick at sign up on Underdog. Play along with us. We'll get you some picks on Friday ahead of the football weekend, and we will give you some picks on Monday ahead of Monday Night Football. Lots of picks coming your way in the next couple episodes.
I'm approaching 100 playoff best ball teams at this very moment.
You're an insane person.
Yes.
I hope you win all the money.
It's so fun.
I can't wait until we have a Mr. Irrelevant celebration.
It's so fun. If you have any interest in best ball, if you're familiar with it, reach out to me. I'll tell you a little about it. I can't get enough of it. It's the best part. You draft a ton, and it's all good players, so you're not like, hey, I might have to take this stinky person. It's a good time. Get in there. They're quick drafts, 15 minutes max. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Promo code GOODKARMA at sign up on the Underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. All right, let's dive into Enigma, the Aaron Rodgers story on Netflix. I am through the first 2 episodes. I will likely finish it either tonight or tomorrow. We've got a company-wide happy hour tonight, a little holiday happy hour. So
forgot about that.
Will you be there?
I will.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing
it. I plan to go beforehand for the trivia. So now it's
I just get to
drink for free.
You want to be on my team for trivia?
Sure.
Is Mussolini making an appearance?
Correct.
Oh, awesome.
We got some friends making an appearance.
Awesome.
Well,
I'm looking forward to seeing you out there.
If Strope's on your trivia team, like, is your back stretched out? You're going to have to carry the team. I'm just
Here's the thing you guys don't know about me. I'm actually very good at trivia. I'm a trivia nerd. You guys forget I participated on an annual basis in the world's largest trivia contest. You guys forget this about me. The last WTMJ trivia I attended, I was our team captain. We took 2nd place. Thank you very much. Trivia's
my thing. You were the first loser. Way to go.
Well done.
Couldn't
bring it home. No, we got smoked by Brian D, our director of content, and then Pratik, our director of marketing, who's one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel too bad about that. All right. I took notes of Enigma. Not a lot of them, but I took notes on my notepad on My notepad. How many episodes have you watched, Josh?
One and a half.
Hunter, how much have you watched?
Absolutely nothing outside of a couple of clips on TikTok.
Do you plan on watching it?
Haven't decided yet. He's such a tool. I just don't know if I can sit through it.
Before we get through my notes quick, I'm just going to rapid fire through them and you guys can throw follow-up questions at me. I would advocate for watching it. I think it's interesting. I think it's very pro-Rodgers, which, sure, I mean, naturally it is. I think it actually humanizes him a little bit more than maybe we have in the past, which I think might be necessary. Joshy's going to vehemently disagree with that take. But I think it humanizes him a little bit more. So I think it's interesting so far. I've enjoyed it. Would you advocate for watching it, Joshy?
If you're somebody who has reached their limit on Aaron Rodgers, I would say no. If you still find him a little interesting character-wise, I think it's worth it. But as somebody who's listened to every word Aaron Rodgers has said for pretty much the past like 6-7 years as part of my job and then as part of self-loathing and hate-watching, I didn't learn anything. And I haven't yet. And from what I can tell, I'm not going to.
That's fair. Now, I know episode 3 is when our buddy Jason Wilde is name dropped, so I'm looking forward to watching that.
It's kind of a shock.
Actually, I kind of need to watch that tonight because Wilde and I record weekly Wilde every Thursday at 8 a.m., so I definitely need to watch episode 3 tonight so I can bring it up with him. But anyway, yeah, so I have 5 notes for each episode I've watched, episode 1 and episode 2. I'll just rapid fire through them, and you guys can ask follow-up questions. So episode 1, my very first note. And my takeaway, which was about 10 minutes in, was I just wrote identity crisis. It seems like Rodgers at some point, and I think he's through it now after watching episode 2, but maybe there's still some. Okay, Joshy's looking at me with an unbelievable look right now. He's probably not through it in Joshy's eyes, but identity crisis. My second note was dude is very clearly sharp, or clearly very sharp, but also very smug. He thinks he's smarter than everybody in the room. That's something we've always known about him. Football note here. He talks about the math that goes through his head and the percentages of throws, which I thought was really interesting. And he used James Jones, the former Packers wide receiver, as an example of a Hail Mary ball or a 50-50 ball. Right? He's like, for most receivers, if I'm throwing just a normal fly route, it's a 20% completion rate. But with a guy like James Jones, that becomes a true 50-50 ball, which gives me more of the, you know, protection and idea and comfortability to throw that ball maybe over like a 90% wheel route or a quick slant or whatever over the middle. So I thought him breaking down the percentages was super interesting. And, you know, listening to Aaron Rodgers talk football, despite my feelings and some of his other stuff off the field antics, will never get old. It's really, really interesting to hear. So I enjoyed that part. Did not anticipate the Marshawn Lynch appearance. The very first thing Marshawn Lynch said is, boy, he was saucy as bleep in college, which just made me chuckle. Marshawn Lynch is awesome. And then the final thing I have on episode 1 is the Super Bowl 45 recap made me slightly emotional. I legitimately shed a tear, and I'm not joking.
Wow.
So those are my 5 notes from episode 1.
I viewed that episode. I watched. It was on. Mussolini had it on. I actually didn't turn it on my own. And then I said, well, for work, this would make sense. I might as well just sit down and watch this.
So really, I'm surprised that Mussolini turned it on and you didn't.
No, I thought I was going to get a certain thing. And he's less venomous than I expected in it. But he is grinding every axe he's ever wanted to grind. A lot of them come off as, here's how I'm the victim.
Sure.
In XYZ thing, many of them, mind you,
many of them
pop up. And here's how I handled it and have grown from it in my own imagination. My big problem with all of these things, even The Last Dance, is whenever you involve the subject to get the rights to their life in this way, you then implicitly giving them rights to what is told about them and how everything is framed. So everything is told only from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. There are no competing narratives. There is nobody who would check Aaron on some of the things he said. I think he's very much still in the throes of an identity crisis, and I don't think he's ever going to find what he's looking for, because I think what he's looking for doesn't exist in terms of like meaning of life. And the smug thing you said is I had an overwhelming feeling of deep-seated, vicious contempt for virtually everyone.
Yeah.
He views everybody as lesser than him,
yeah,
and less worthy of hearing their opinions or caring about their feelings.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it.
It's like a very deep-seated, like, thing he seems to not be able to avoid.
Yeah, and I guess that goes back to your identity crisis thing. Now, the thing I will show respect to is the ayahuasca and stuff like that, like, strange to me, something I wouldn't consider to do, but it seems that it's actually been healthy for him and, like, helped his mental state.
I think you could say that. Obviously that gets into pretty deep things there. I think he thinks he's found an answer, and he says the right thing about it, but his actions don't bear out lessons he's learning.
Sure.
That's the way I would frame
it. I hear you there. All right, let's rapid fire through episode two. I got confirmation that he was formally asked to be the running mate for Robert F. Kennedy, which I didn't realize. I knew he was in consideration. I didn't know he was formally asked. So that was interesting. It was during his ninth ceremony of what he refers to as Aya. That the news broke on that. Yeah, he doesn't refer to it as ayahuasca. He refers to it as Aya, which I thought was really strange. He talks about his brother on The Bachelorette and how he thought it was ridiculous that a reality TV show portrayed him in a negative light. I get where he's coming from, but also it's reality TV. What do you expect? Quote, first of all, I am sensitive. I am human. End quote. Endearing.
We know.
But yes, we know. And then last thing I said was fully forgot about him photobombing captain's photos when he was a Packer. I completely forgot about that.
I find it very interesting. You basically picked up nuggets. They were just kind of auxiliary things happening. Whereas, like, the grand, large, sweeping, like, you didn't have a note on his familial relationship really at all. Which is, well, like, the most fascinating thing about Aaron Rodgers and kind of his villain arc.
He's finally talking about it, but I didn't like that the documentary didn't have any of his family members in it.
Well, because you know why.
He told him not to.
Yes.
Right. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is a pro Aaron Rodgers piece. I'm going to hear it from his perspective. I'll hear it out from his perspective because he is a very important figure in my life, right? Like, he was the quarterback of my favorite football team for 15 years.
I got the feeling
labeling him as an important figure in your life is a bold take. Yeah.
I mean, this was my take. It's this like second longest relationship I have in my family, which also applies to Strofe. Like, there's my family members, and then Aaron Rodgers was the most consistent person around.
But like, there was nothing reciprocal. Like, you were watching the guy perform.
No.
Like,
well,
like
wins.
I understand enjoying athletes, but like, come on. Like, you need a healthier relationship with the athletes you're watching if you label that at all as a relationship. That's all I'm saying.
It's for effect. I get it, at least. Maybe Strofe doesn't.
Well, we will wrap up Thoughts on Enigma on Friday, because I'm going to finish it tonight. But that's what I have right now, and then we can do a deeper dive. We can do maybe even a special podcast strictly on Enigma. But we got to get the One Word Wednesday, and we got to get to What We Learned, and we are running absolutely late. So let's do a rapid-fire edition One Word Wednesday as we head into Week 16 in the NFL. Hunter, go ahead.
All right. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo is now the head coach of Sam Houston State.
Again, right? This is a second stop there, so my word would be again.
Wide receivers Will Pauling and CJ Williams have entered the transfer portal.
Era. It's just the era of college sports we live in. Unfortunate, but the era.
A new trailer for the Superman movie comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
Talking about former Badgers, former Badger running back Brian Calhoun is the new head coach for Oak Creek High School.
Oh!
I used to talk to him on AIM.
Brian Calhoun?
Yeah.
What was your username on AIM? That will be our one word.
Big Cat 15987.
Hell yeah, brother. Big Cat 19587 is my one word.
The Saturday slate of football, 11 a.m., SMU at Penn State, and the Dakota marker game in the FCS playoffs between South Dakota State and North Dakota State, both at the same time.
I'll say it's sexy. The word is sexy. That's a sexy slate right there. I really like that. I will be watching college football. Yes, sexy.
Then at noon, Texans at Chiefs.
This is a Saturday game or Sunday?
Saturday.
Oh. hello. That's my work. Hello. I didn't realize there were Saturday games this week.
3 p.m.
This happens every year.
Yeah.
I thought that was next weekend.
Nope, both.
But I guess, oh, that's right, because they both play on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday, so it's Saturday, Wednesday. Okay, that makes sense. But hello is still my word.
3 p.m., Clemson at Texas.
Orange.
Blowout.
3:30.
Yeah, Texas is gonna
win big. Yeah. 3:30, Steelers at Ravens.
B-Gow. Best game of weekend. B-Gow.
Slobber knocker.
There we go, Joshy. Hell yeah, brother.
And then finally, 7 p.m., Tennessee at Ohio State.
Ooh, this actually might be the B-Gow. Tennessean.
Why don't you just go Vols?
Vols. Yeah. I'm the Vols. That's my point. There you go. That's one word. Yeah, that's right. College football playoff starts this weekend. A couple of Saturday NFL games. Oh, baby. Despite no Packers this weekend, actually, that might be a good thing. I get to watch everything else, and then it's only the Packers on Monday. That's actually kind of BCS, best case scenario. I love that. All right, as we wrap up the show every day, you learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for what we learn, and what I learned is beef is back, baby. This is Beef Breakdown number 7 on Mr. Irrelevant. Our beef breakdown is Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb, who has now lost 8 in a row, including to a Division II game or team today. Doug Gottlieb versus ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. So this all started when Schefter reported on Twitter earlier in the week that Michael Vick was being considered for the head coaching job at Sacramento State. Now, Michael Vick has now accepted a job elsewhere, Norfolk State, if I'm not mistaken. And Schefter goes on to tweet and explain that Sacramento State has reached their fundraising goal of $50 million in NIL. And Doug Gottlieb tweets at him, Jesus, Schefty, edit what agents tell you. 0.0% chance Sac State has $50 million in NIL. Schefter goes on to explain that leading this conference is leading NIL efforts. They've announced this, and it is in hopes that they can get essentially promoted to a bigger conference down the line. Schefter then doesn't hold back. He says this as a follow-up to that second tweet. He says, Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak, which is now an 8-game losing streak, and last place in the Horizon League, less time on social media and more time in the gym. Gottlieb went on to reply, delete said reply, and said, you know, essentially his point was, if we lose games, it will not be from a lack of effort. Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Central had this to say about the beef to Joshy and company this morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
See, that's the whole thing, Jen. I do have that in me, and I never, ever, ever spar back. But I'm like, this is gratuitous. This is over the top. This is inaccurate. This is wrong. And if you want to come at me, I'm going to come at you. First of all, here's the irony of irony. Yesterday, I get a text from Doug Gottlieb's producer asking if I want to come on his radio show yesterday, which I said, thank you, but no thank you.
You politely declined.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not interested in doing that. If I want to talk about it, I'll do it with you guys, not him. And then last night he sent me a text. He apologized and also told me that he thought my tweet was a little over the top. Well, I actually think his tweet was over the top, and mine was just in a spar back, and that's it. And but you know, whatever, we addressed it like men, as it should have been done initially, and moved on.
Well, there you go, from Adam Schefter. The best part of that 1-minute, 3-second clip right there is the Joshy chuckle that's inserted near the end. When he's talking about how Doug texted him. So, less time on the court, more time, or less time on social media, more time on the court, and then he gets asked to go on his radio show is unbelievably great irony. So Schefty 3, Gottlieb 0?
Yeah.
Is the final scorecard of this beef breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, it's very funny and extremely radio host of to come from somebody's credibility in their job when
and then
the
ask
whole thing
them to come on the
is,
show.
And then, well, ask them to come on the show and go, like, I think you went a little too far. And it's like, well, you questioned my entire profession.
Yeah, you
in front of the masses.
Yes, you questioned my integrity.
Yes. And, to which Schefty went on to say, like, I have confirmation from the president of the school, the person who holds the money.
Yeah.
I, like,
Look, Schefter is way too damn good to tweet things that aren't looked at. Right?
Just like call him a liar.
Right. It's not like he's just taking one phone call and he's like, "Oh, really? Wow, I'm going to tweet that out now." Like, it's not how he operates. So
it's also
foolish by Dougie G.
I find it hilarious. People complain about like, oh, guys like Schefter and Shams getting like, oh, you're just tweeting what the agents tell you. Like. Well, guess what? The agent's talking to the players. They're talking to the coaches. They literally have the information, so it's not like they're incorrect. Like, I don't get the whole, like, oh, just tweeting what the agent said. Like, yeah, man, that's a direct source here. Like, that's a solid place to go if you're putting out news.
Also, there's a critical misstep that Dougie G made here. Now that Schefter was the first one to do it, any criticism he launches at anybody is going to be sent back with the record of his Green Bay Phoenix.
Yeah, it's look, you guys know I've had Doug on the show twice. Like I like Doug. This was silly. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
He was lashing out.
I'm rooting for him to succeed. He was, definitely.
He put his hand in a bee's nest.
Correct. Like he got what he deserved, right? Uh-huh. I mean, if you're going to try to hold somebody accountable incorrectly, they're going to hold you accountable right back. And what's going on at Green Bay is not good, right? 8 games in a row they have lost, including today, as I mentioned earlier, 72-70 to Northern Michigan, who is a Division II program. Not great. So you stick your hand in said bee's nest, you're going to get bit. And Doug Gottlieb certainly did. So
he's going to make it through the
second
season.
Year? No, there we go.
Okay, well, you're asking very similar questions. Yes and yes would be yes. He'll get more than a year. I think he does have a good thing going there, but we will see. All right, that does it for us today. We're back with you Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm looking at Gabe Neitzel right now. I think he's probably excited about the NBA Cup, but I don't know. I don't know if he is or not. I want to raise a banner. Hope you do, too. All right, we'll talk to you Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central, preview the football weekend, and get you some underdog picks ahead of the college football playoff and the NFL weekend ahead. Thanks to Joshy. Thanks to Tiny Ann's Hunter Vaughn. I'm Alex Struff. It's been Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. Peace.